a former Royal Stadium vendor turned radio icon.
It's all tonight on Sports Radio 810 WHB, your home for everything that's great.
He's been in a band.
I don't like you.
And he's not to be trifled with.
I'm a hard ass. I'm sorry.
He's Todd Liebo. He's Todd Liebo.
I'm getting really sick of guys named Todd. Hi, what's your name? Todd. I'm Todd.
On the program.
That's right. Todd Lebo's here. Going to get a little Liebo sounds. We need a contestant, though. We're going to play the feud first. Listen, your opportunity to win. What are we going to play for? Are we going to play for some jazz? Are we going to play for some great Cajun food from Jazz? A Louisiana kitchen. It's yours right now. All you got to do is come win the feud, right? You got a choice to make. Play with either Todd, Curtis, or myself. If your team wins, you win. Great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. Need a contestant right now at 913-810-810. Petro, Seawolt, Marshall. We welcome Todd Liebo, Little Lebonix,
what's
here
happening?
In the program. The Chiefs are winning.
Who knew?
Missouri is stumbling.
I got a good soundbite for you, and Lebo sounds from Eli Drinkwitz.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Got a good sound.
Crud, yeah, man.
Crud, yeah.
I like Drinkwitz a lot.
Is it the one I heard yesterday, Todd?
Yes.
That is a good one.
I like that one.
Will Howard. For Will Howard to be feel like he's your quarterback moving forward, he needs to have how many TDs and INTs at the end of the year?
He better get to 20.
I said 20 and 10.
Yeah,
I said
he 20 better get to 20. Here's the deal. You remember T.J. Rubley, the old NFL quarterback?
Yeah.
His son is a true freshman out there. He was a highly recruited kid. Four-star player. He's from Denver. Recruited by Pac-12 schools, whatever. I'm not saying stars count. Okay, but
there's
something.
The starting point.
Yeah, they're a starting point. That's who K-State people want to be the guy, but they didn't even put him to number two in the depth chart yet, so he's not there.
They didn't put him there because they don't want to start that talk. And
so I think the best news for K-State, though, if Skylar Thompson can't, I mean, the coach says he can come back, they don't know when, but the best news would be that this Jake Rubley is better than all of them. That's the best news, if that's the case.
Do you donate this year just to give the kid an apprenticeship year before you
it's
turn it over next year?
It's so weird with the, I mean, because maybe if you don't, you just get a wandering eye. It's transfer
right.
times are nuts. I don't know.
Right.
It's
so if he's
so
the best
weird.
Guy, he's got to play.
Well, he was the best recruit. I have no idea what he does in practice or anything like that, but I think the if.
Because the I thought if Bazelak didn't come out of the gates, the Florida kid, right? Isn't he from Florida? I think you're looking to, you know, put in right over Bazelak.
It's wild, man.
But Bazelak, I think, is doing a pretty good job.
He's doing fine. It's wild. College football is absolutely wild, especially at the quarterback position. It's crazy right now.
Yes. We have a contestant, Todd. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready.
Lawrence joins us here in the program. Lawrence, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Thank you for playing. You no doubt have heard the feud if you're going to, embark on this epic quest for great Cajun food from Jazz, right? You know what you're doing?
Yes, sir. Okay. Scream my name to law or to buzz in.
Yep. Can we test that buzzer?
Lawrence.
There it is, working like a charm. Thanks to our engineering crew that got over there and made sure that was working at your place. Let's now find out who you're going to play with. Are you going to play with Curtis? Do you have that kind of heart, that kind of stones, that kind of initiative?
Chutzpah.
That's a good one. Are you going to play with Liebo?
I'm thinking I'm gonna play Todd.
Todd.
Ooh. Let's do it.
Lawrence
Todd.
And Liebo.
We found out his name hasn't been pronounced right all these years.
Liebo.
Lawrence and Liebo. I like it.
Who's going first?
I look forward to seeing how this works.
You
want to
go first, Lawrence, or second?
I'll go first.
Okay. All right. I like the spirit.
Curtis, what do you want to do? You want to go first or second?
I'll go against Liebo. You can go first.
Okay.
Oh, he won a piece of me, Curtis?
Yeah.
Is that what you
want?
All right. Let's do it.
I'm terrible against the phone.
It's going to be...
like I'm great anymore.
I think you could have just stopped after terrible.
Yeah. That's where I think most of us were at. it's the L's, the killer L's against the fatties. I don't know. Let's do it.
Wow, that's hurtful to Todd.
And the L's get
right.
a W.
Lawrence.
Being an L is hurtful. They're the L's.
Petro, Lawrence, you both ready to rock here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. We surveyed 100 of the weirdos who follow me on Twitter. We got the top 8 answers when I asked them to name a local news anchor.
Petro.
Soren.
I don't know. I have no idea. I do know. Hang on. Holmes.
That,
right?
That's fine.
Right?
Kevin Holmes was your fourth best answer.
41.
Morris, chance to steal.
Good dude.
He is a good dude. I like Kevin. He's funny on Twitter.
Is Schaefer one?
Mitch Schaefer is a sports guy. He was not on the board. Would you guys like to play or pass this?
I can think of one more, and you better not take it, USOB, if we play.
Okay.
Okay.
I will leave it for you then. I will say Brad Stevens.
Good call. I know Brad.
Stevens was the eighth best answer.
Also was a decent coach.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Just created Boston, right?
Let's say my man Chris Ketz.
Chris Ketz was the top answer. He's a good dude also.
He's a horrible human being.
Interviewed my dad on the street during a snowstorm. Really? My dad was a bus driver. 1986.
Ketz's nails.
Must have been a awesome slow news day.
I'm a fan.
Snowing.
Being a smart ass.
I think I've got another one, and I don't think you'll take the person I'm thinking of. But I don't know.
Laura Moritz.
Good call.
Laura Moritz was there. That's your fifth best answer. This is surprisingly good for you, Craig.
I am, first of all, shocked at how many I've gotten. She's sweetheart of a gal. I'm afraid I'm going to screw up her last name, so I almost feel like not. Dia Wall. I think it's Wall, isn't it?
Dia Wall was there. Right. That's the seventh best answer. She's a very good broadcaster.
There are good
people
that are in news.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
It's the sports people where you find the
asses. Yeesh. Oh, God.
Talking about you, Mick, and your hatred of cats.
She's no longer in town, but she didn't leave that long ago, and she was a big fan of our show. So I'm going to say Ellen McNamara. It was Brad Stevenson's co-anchor. Nope.
Ellen McNamara, not on the board.
Is that just a first strike?
That is one strike.
Is there deep in the order here?
I can see several others now. Now they're all starting to come to me from all their promos and everything. How did you phrase the question?
Name any local news anchor.
This isn't going to be right, but I can't. I'm drawing blanks on the other names, so why the hell not? Nick Vassos.
Nick Vassos was not on the board. That's two strikes.
He should be. The Greek freak.
That's right.
The Greek freak.
Let's see honest with the compo.
Gina Bullard.
Gina Bullard did not make the cut. That's three strikes.
All right, Lawrence, what do you got? I got several.
No, is that three?
Yeah.
That's only two.
That's three.
That's three. You get three in a row real quick there.
What has been answered so far?
The answers that have been taken.
That's the role I like you to play,
Number
Lawrence.
One, Chris Ketz. Number four, Kevin Holmes. Number five, Laura Moritz. Number seven, Dia Wall. And number eight, Brad Stevens.
I'm thinking either Larry Moore, who seems to always be on TV, or Kelly Eckerman.
Well, Larry Moore's been retired for too long, I think. John Holt from Fox 4 has been on for a long time now. Big sports fan, too. Mark Alford is the Fox 4 mornings guy. A lot of people watch Fox 4 mornings. Channel 9 mornings, Donna Pittman and my neighbor, Cody Holyhoak, are there in the mornings. I watch them. Lindsey Shively, 41. Is good too, but
I think John Holt.
I will eat my hat if John Holt's not there. Actually, no, I'm not going to eat my hat. I will be super surprised if John Holt's not there.
I'd be surprised if Mark Alford ain't there, also. I'll let you make the call,
Lawrence. For you, I think I'm going to go John Holt.
Final answer.
Yes. Yeah, we go.
John Holt was the second best answer. 79 points.
Because we're going to run into him at some point. He's going to be like. Dude, seriously.
Like, seriously?
The answers that you did not get.
How many did they get?
79 points. The answers that you did not get, number three, Abby Eden.
Oh, yeah.
I could see her. I couldn't remember.
And number six, Len Jennings.
Len, he gets on both sides. Sports.
He's dual purpose guy.
He got the sports. Len Jennings, super nice guy.
I got Len Jennings when we did sports anchors, didn't I?
Yeah, but he does also do news broadcasts. He's dual purpose. Len Jennings is great.
Okay. He's a nice guy. Another nice guy.
Again, well, he crosses over to the sports. That's why it doesn't do it for
him. When he does sports, he's
mean.
An ass.
Yeah, terrible. Exactly. Terrible, mean person.
All right, Lebo, Kadog, you both ready to rock and roll here? All right, we surveyed 100 of the weirdos who follow me. We got the top 8 answers. When I asked them, name any Batman villain.
Lebo.
You don't even take a breath.
I know.
It's like not
the
even
Joker
like
Joker was your top answer. Would you guys like to play or pass?
Do you know these things, Lawrence?
I know a few, yeah.
Okay, let's play it then.
Lawrence, over to you, pal.
Let's go with Bane.
Damn it.
Bane was the seventh best answer.
The Penguin?
Now I'm really out.
Penguin was the second best, also a former intern on the show.
How about the Riddler?
Riddler was the sixth best.
I've got one more
isn't,
now. I can't
isn't
remember.
Two-Face one of them?
Two-Face is
so
a Batman villain, but he's not on the board.
So stupid.
My list is complete, so.
Did someone say, I'm just asking, did someone say the Penguin already?
Yes.
Okay, how about Scarecrow?
That's right.
Scarecrow not on the board. That's two strikes, Libo.
Libo. Was Catwoman a villain at one point? I don't know, Catwoman?
Damn
Catwoman
it.
Was there.
Now we're
that
screwed.
Was the fifth best answer.
I was hoping that one was going to get by.
the only other one I can think of is Mr. Freeze.
Mr. Freeze was the fourth best answer. You guys are making Shane Summers so proud right now.
I'm just totally out of that. Robin. Did someone write it down?
Robin's not a villain, you idiot. That's three strikes.
But I mean, just
like,
you don't
know.
These are your people.
We don't really know how well they got
along. They probably were high when they were filling out this thing.
Can I hear the question again and then hear what's been brought up?
Name any Batman villain was the way it was phrased. Number one, Joker. Two, Penguin. Three, Blank. Four, Mr. Freeze. Five, Catwoman. Six, Riddler. Seven, Bane. Eight, Blank.
Curtis, start talking.
Hang on.
Darth Vader?
There aren't even noises coming out, and this is a talk radio format. This is awful.
Do you have anything? If not, then
Darth
be
Vader.
Quiet.
I have nothing.
No,
give me
he
a
needs
second
to talk.
Here.
No concentration.
Give
here.
Me a second, I said.
How's the Batman song
I won't
go?
Say anything.
I'm gonna
pow,
biff,
boffo, whammo.
What numbers are left?
Three and eight. There's a big one up there.
Oh my! Need an answer.
Need an answer.
I'm gonna try because I have nothing else, and I think maybe I could back ass into this one. They did have Batman versus Superman, so I'm gonna say Superman.
Superman not on the board. 83 additional points.
This is not going well,
Lebo.
No.
And Lawrence, let's see here. That's strong at the math.
162
to 0. All right.
What were we missing?
The answers that you did not get: number three, Poison Ivy, and number eight, Clayface, who I confirmed is a Batman villain. I'd never heard of.
No
check
idea.
Check for Shane on that.
Yeah.
No,
I looked. I used the interwebs.
Shane is the DC internet.
I'll confirm with Shane after the show. All right, who's up here? Lawrence,
me and
Soren.
Lawrence!
We serve
Lawrence Arabia.
I'm not even going to buzz in. I'm just going to let Soren answer.
There we go.
There you go, man.
Lawrence,
that's one way
tackled.
To do it.
He was an English man.
All right.
Fight the Turkish.
Stop singing.
Like, yeah, burnt desert.
We surveyed 100 of the weirdos.
Some Hollywood Nights.
You got that?
I'm done now.
We surveyed 100 of the weirdos who follow me on Twitter. We got the top eight answers when I asked them, name any Samuel L. Jackson movie.
Petro.
Sword.
Which one? Planes with Snakes. Snakes on Planes. Snakes on Planes. Snakes on Planes.
Snakes on a Plane was the second best answer. Chance to steal here.
Let's go with, does it cover any Marvel movie? Because he plays Fury, doesn't he?
I guess, yeah. I mean, sure.
He does play Fury. Nick.
Would you stop helping?
All
right, well, I'll go with Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction was your top answer. Would you guys like
call.
A player pass?
We'll play.
Because in every movie.
Kind of. Leaves.
He shouts in a lot of movies. So... Die Hard with a Vengeance?
That was
one strike. That's a pretty good movie, though.
Was he in that one?
Yeah, number three.
Yeah.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
I know there's a sequel out now, so The Hitman's Bodyguard?
That was there. That's the fourth best answer.
Was that there?
Yeah, that was there. Fourth best.
Just that?
Yes, just The Hitman's Bodyguard.
I mean, he's a smaller role, but Do the Right Thing. I'm going to strike out on all these.
That's two strikes. That's Soren's favorite movie.
It's a great movie.
The Hateful Eight.
Three strikes. Mm. Chance to steal. Curtis.
All right. Commercials. Barkley and... Is that a...
Capital One. Movie?
You are such a cultural turd. Avengers... Phantom Menace, he was in the first three Star Wars, the second trilogy.
I've forgotten those.
The bad ones.
It was Mace Windu in that. If the Hitman's Bodyguard was in it, the Hitman's Bodyguard's wife is what's out now, or was out recently, and he's in that.
Curtis, speak
that's
up.
That's the title?
Yeah. Hitman's Bodyguard's well, the first wife? One was Hitman's Bodyguard, right? I think, or was the first man the Hitman's Bodyguard's wife or something like, it's him, Salma Hayek, and Ryan Reynolds.
Bodyguard's next door neighbor's wife.
Something like that, yeah.
Third cousin.
With a white rock, and we're all going.
Dawn.
Frankel's off today, buddy.
Hitman's Bodyguard's wife.
Do you have anything, you dumbass? You can't think of one Samuel L. Jackson movie.
Yes.
Like?
Pulp Fiction.
Oh, my God.
You are, seriously. God, I could. All right, I'm going to go with. I got to believe the Star Wars fans got him with Mace Windu. So, like, can I take that trilogy, or I got to get a?
You can do whatever you want. It's your show.
Hey, Saran. Yeah. I appreciate you playing with the handicap.
Oh,
it's a big one.
That was a shot at the dog.
All right, I'm going to stand by for this.
I'll say. Oh God, he is in all those the Avengers, but which one of those? I'll say the Avengers.
Oh, Avengers God not bless. On the board.
Phantom Menace
64,
there.
64 additional points.
Hitman's Bodyguard's wife.
Not there.
Boyfriend, Endgame.
Sisters, boss.
Iron Man.
Django.
Oh, Django was there.
Oh, Django Unchained. I should have gone with that.
The answer is that you did not get. Number three, Coming to America.
Ah.
The hell was he in Coming to America?
He's the banker, or the guy who robs McDowell's.
Yeah, he's in there for like 3 seconds.
That's right. That's right.
That's number three.
That's number three.
I'm assuming Pulp Fiction was like 80 points.
It was 30 points. Okay. Number five, Django Unchained. Number six, Unbreakable. Number seven, Jurassic Park. And number eight, A Time to Kill.
Park.
He gets eaten by a dinosaur.
How many did they get?
64 points.
Just barely enough. Just barely enough.
That's a sweep.
Wow, that is a big fat L. You're a winner, Lawrence.
Thank you, guys.
And Curtis is fired. I mean, that's the worst. This is, Todd, how can we keep him around after this performance?
He's a boy.
Curtis cuts up a lot of sound. He's a necessary
gave you Chris
evil.
Katz.
You didn't give me Chris Katz. I thought of Chris Katz.
Yes, but I left him for you.
It's the only thing you managed to accomplish.
Yes, and that was early on.
And,
by
the way, just so you
on.
Guys stop fighting, none of it was enough. Lawrence and I kicked your ass.
Yeah, there was a butt kicking.
Regardless.
It was a butt kicking.
John Holt. How do you forget John Holt?
How do we forget John Holt?
Unbelievable.
That was a blood letting.
Lawrence, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to go cry. Okay?
I appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy. You're going to jazz on me. Really on Curtis. Let's be honest. You know what? You should have to pay for it.
Okay.
Just give him your credit card.
Hey, he was a good player, too. He knew a lot of things.
Lawrence was good.
He was rolling off Batman, guys.
Lawrence was good. Batman, who's Clayface?
I don't know. Should have been Two-Face. I think Two-Face is real.
Two-Face is real. Okay. I don't think there is a Clayface.
Yeah. If Shane's internet says
Two-Face
that.
Was played by...
Wasn't it Tommy Lee Jones?
Tommy Lee Jones.
I'm going to tell you this. If you have a feud category that says, who has Batman air tire caps on their car, there's only one answer.
Shane Summers.
That's Shane Summers.
Lebo was the real jerk to Shane today.
Really?
Well, Shane was messing around on his phone at a stoplight
right across the way by
Sonic.
I said, I'm going to honk at this guy.
And I said, don't honk at him. And then he honked at him.
Shane went
like 60 down the little street to get to the office. Oh, my God. That was so funny.
I guess he got me a little baby meat.
Shane is the kind of nervous individual that if you honk at him, he might
make a
charge
wreck.
Into
that's,
the...
That's why I waited for the light to turn green and traffic was cleared. Then I honked.
Then you laid on it?
I didn't lay on it. It was a quick beep.
Head
and
out
he
the window.
He
you
see
dumb
me.
Son of a...
He didn't even see me. I rarely use my horn. I know it's your art form. with you, but I don't use it much.
Why is it put on the car if it was not there to be used?
I got you.
Well,
I understand.
Wire turn signals on the car. Ask about 25% of the population out there.
I'm always curious when someone doesn't use it.
What is this weird thing on my
steering wheel? This looks like about a 2014 Nissan. I think they got turn signals. I think they've been kind of standard on most of these cars. Why aren't you using them?
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Yeah. Don't get me started. We'll take a break, come back, get some Lebo sounds. Congratulations, Lawrence. It was a bloodletting that occurred there. I am
That's
not
the
happy.
First sweep we've had in a while.
Curtis and I are going back into the gym. We're going to begin training for next week's session.
Watching local news.
That's right.
Going to the movies.
That's right.
Well, that's not going to do you much good. We're out of the local news stuff.
Yeah.
Well, next we need reporters in the
field.
Have
we done weathermen?
Local news. We did weathermen.
We did. You might have been out.
I was out?
You were out then. Yeah.
How many leads that get? Did he call him bitch that he didn't get a higher number?
I think he was one.
Was he number one?
I think he was.
Number one,
might have been one. I don't know.
Did he complain what do you mean 51 points?
And then he called in and we were late for the hour.
We didn't have enough.
We missed the show.
Turns out all of our guests were canceled because he just wanted to talk about nothing.
Matt Beasler called in and he was pissed.
Yeah.
It's like, that's it.
And then Nate cried because Beasler called in.
That's right. Ugh. We'll take a break, get some Lebo sounds next here in the program.
Program with Soren Petro.
Yeah, you know it. Let's go.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
What is the matter with you?
I'm not bright.
If you have HBO, you have HBO Max.
Now there
I don't think that's the case.
We'll work on this in a break.
I'm pretty sure it's the case. Also, Curtis just completely zoning out end of the hour here.
Oh, yeah.
End of the hour. Name a show that's not on HBO.
The Jazz End of the Hour answer.
Are you having a mild stroke of some sort?
Did you get into one of my bags?
Why is the light?
Did you get into the Jets lunch
bag? Why is it getting darker in here? Before Salvador Perez.
That wasn't broccoli, by the way. No. I just want you to know.
Before Salvador Perez, who was the last American League catcher to have a 100 RBI season?
Pudge?
No. Last AL catcher, 100 RBI season?
Terry Steinbach?
Before Salvador, the last catcher to do it, period, was Buster Posey back in 2012.
B Pose.
The last previous to that.
Catcher.
So, what about a Joe Mauer?
No, God, no.
How about one a year?
Yes.
Yeah.
2007. This guy, Jorge Posada, did it twice. Posada did it in 03. It's happened twice since then.
Jason Veritek.
Or the same guy.
John
Travis
Buck.
Travis D'Arno.
Mm-mm.
Not John Buck.
AL?
American League.
Division?
Who's the one
Central.
Guy?
And if Salvador
AJ
Perez
Pazinski
gets,
or some crap?
If he gets 6 more RBIs, he will have the most by an American League catcher since... I got to go back.
Sandy Alomar?
I don't have a clue.
Was this one punched?
No, but you're literally in their same ballpark.
What Indians catcher am I missing? Sandy Alomar?
First name starts with a V.
Victor
Martinez.
Oh, that's right. Then he's got a paycheck and
114
no good.
RBIs in 2007. So if Salvi gets to 115,
he DH'd a lot too, didn't he?
We nailed that. That was really good.
That was
the breakdown was they call it official. If you had at least 70% of your games at catcher, you qualify as being a catcher.
Three clues.
Victor Martinez is out of the league now too. He's probably gone, right?
Oh, I would imagine. Yeah,
he's out.
He just turned into
Then again, I haven't paid much attention.
Didn't he
to
like
fantasy
go a year, hit 300, and have
years,
like 100, like 10 home runs? I mean, he was just like, it was just all of a sudden, all the power went away on him.
Like steroids, you saying?
Maybe I don't
Are you
know.
Accusing him of steroids?
I'm not accusing
right,
anybody
Todd.
Of anything.
Todd Lebo is with us. You know, he is a big deal. Todd Lebo, brought to you by our friends at Family Leisure. Got my bar stools, Todd.
I know. I'm so excited.
You have to come by and see. They're Let's very see comfy. Him.
Comfy.
Yes.
You always want to be comfortable at the bar.
My my little one picked them out, by the way, so she's very excited to show off the bar stools.
These are the bar stools.
We sat in all the bar stools at Family Leisure. Thank you to Holly, who did a fantastic job of helping us out at Family Leisure. Locally owned and operated. Find them online at familyleisure.com. See them in person at K10 in Ridgeview. You know, Todd, if you mention 810, tell them the program sent you, you'll save even more.
Oh, it's worth it to say it then.
Big sale going on right now.
It's that time of year.
Yes, it is that time of year. Go check it out. Patio furniture, if you need some bar stools, maybe the bar itself You can even get that there. Pool tables, poker tables, the trampolines. Kids need a little exercise. Get the trampolines. It's all at Family Leisure. Be careful when you go there. You're going to want to buy the whole store, because I always do. K10 in Ridgeview. Locally owned and operated. That's Family Leisure. Todd? Let's begin with some Chris Kleiman, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it. You know, you guys were talking last hour about, you know, the K-State quarterback situation, which is not great, right? Skylar Thompson got hurt. Feel awful for the kid, as you guys said. He's 6 years there, and he's been hurt badly last year and got hurt again this year to non-contact injury. But Coach said on Monday on the conference call that he doesn't think he's out for the year, but it's going to be a while. So they got their own issues. And we saw this number that Nevada's favored in this game, and everyone's like, oh, it's just because Skylar Thompson's out. Well, you start looking around, and Nevada's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Nevada beat Cal, okay? Now, Cal's not the greatest thing in the world. TCU beat Cal, too. TCU's all right. But that's a legit win. They're 2-0. Well, I start looking a little bit further. Their quarterback is overall number one in some people's mock drafts.
Oh, yeah.
He's like a legit guy. So this is not some just whatever team. They're legit and they're real, and their quarterback, his name is Carson Strong, and Chris Kleiman says he deserves all the accolades he's getting right now. It looks like a future first rounder.
I think he calls a lot of the things himself, the line of scrimmage, out of their tempo. Although they can go fast, they'll slow it down some so that he can get them in the right call or the call that he likes. Tremendous arm strength, mobile guy he's so many coverage. And he's seen so much and played so many snaps. It's not easy to fool a kid like that, guys that have had that many snaps. And we just got to do a great job of being able to rush the passer and be competitive on a lot of potential 50-50 throws.
K-State, I think, has a really nice coaching staff, and I think they are able to confuse people. I see a lot of good second-half adjustments from them from time to time. You heard Coach say it right there. This will be tougher against a guy who's played a lot of ball. He is a fourth-year junior, so he's been there. He didn't play much his freshman year, just a game or two here or there, but he's been the guy for the last 2 years. And we were talking about transfer portal before. This is a guy who's just stayed, and he's gotten better at a place.
In his redshirt freshman, he had 374 attempts.
His
redshirt sophomore, 355 last year, and then he's had 82 this year. He's played in 21 games, so, I mean, that's a pretty good, healthy amount. And to your point, last year and this year, which is 11 games because of the smaller schedule last year and just two games this year, the kid has thrown 33 touchdowns and 5 INTs.
Yes, very good.
Think about that. He'd be 33-5 with a game to go if it were normal times, last year. Completed last year 70% of his passes, this year 68.3. 6'4", 215. He really is. He's very much on the NFL radar.
When you look at numbers like that, it's impressive, right? But a lot of people throw 60% now. It's bad for most teams.
Right.
K-State, that's when you look at Will Howard's run, like he played a lot last year. He's not that guy. He's not completing 65% of his passes. Now, they also run a little different style of offense where maybe it's not so easy to complete passes or whatever. But after the Kansas game last year, he was really kind of bad. And I'm not putting it all on him because – I think K-State, as much as any team I watched last year, and from talking to Coach Kleiman on the conference calls and the Zooms and all that stuff, there were many times where they probably shouldn't have played a game because they didn't really have enough players to go out and sensibly do it. But he was adamant about this. These kids don't get to do this very often. There's only a certain number of games, and you're going to ask any one of them. They all want to go play, whether they're going to be shorthanded or not. So he was out there without the full complement of linemen many times, and that's not some easy thing to do, especially at a school like Kansas State when you maybe don't have that depth to go do that. So I'm willing to watch Will Howard for a while and see what he can do, but I was not super impressed with him last year. But he was a true freshman last year. But now he played in a lot of games last year,
he's
and now he's got
experience.
A full week of practice
and
all
that. There's no
excuses
now. Now if he's not performing, then they need to go in another direction.
This will be a tough game for them. You know, they were really shell-shocked when Skylar went out the other night. They kind of fortunate to win the game. They turned the ball over so many times, and if they turn the ball over four times against Nevada, they ain't winning this game. Okay, it's not happening.
No.
It's not happening. 6 o'clock on ESPN.
Who
Plus.
Do you like?
I like Nevada in this game. I think.
Yeah, better quarterback.
Yeah,
but I mean, aren't you a little bit like, well, why are they only getting two?
Yeah, probably some, but I mean, it's a Big 12 opponent on the road. I think a lot of people. I don't know exactly how the casino is doing it. They know that K-State looked great against Stanford. That's still sitting there. Stanford just got USC's coach fired.
The problem is it's different, right? Like, it used to be you could look at those Vegas lines, and they were all from Vegas. And you're like, yeah, it is largely based on a bunch of drunken, you know, jackasses rolling in from L.A. and all over the country. But the West Coast having a slant to it. And you could kind of back out where the line came from. Everybody's an analytics guy now.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots and lots of guys playing. The lines are all over the place. They're not just in Vegas. And they're sharper. Like, the players are sharper, and so the lines are sharper. So it used to be pretty easy to figure out, they want you on this side, so I'm going to be on the other side.
Yeah.
I think it's harder to do now.
Probably so. There's so much more information than there ever was before. But this is going to be tough sledding for the Cats. It really, really will be.
Yeah, it will be. All right, Mizzou?
Yeah, this should be an easy win for them. They're playing Southeast Missouri State. It's early morning game. They're going to get after it. Part of the stuff that Coach Drinkwitz talked about in his media briefing yesterday was still about the Kentucky game. I was kind of impressed with them to go do what they did. Now, they were not having that fumble at the end of the first half away from being down 28-7. But the fumble happened. They forced the fumble. They recovered. They went down and scored. And they made it a ball game. And they had the ball at the end. That was good stuff. And this was kind of a measuring stick game for a lot of people for about 5 years. You want to be better than Kentucky. Barry Odom couldn't do it. Eli Drinkwitz knows that. Said it after the game last year. You know, all my players have beaten Kentucky now. But going into the game last week, he kept talking a bunch about how, you know, Kentucky's way ahead in culture because the same coaching staff's been there and all that stuff. And I thought that was kind of preventative talk a little bit. I don't think he was super confident about his team going in there last week. He was kind of philosophical on his meeting with the media about where the Tigers are and how much work it's going to take and patience to grow.
You got to set expectations, but you also have to have a reality of, you know, this isn't microwave win. This isn't microwave. All of a sudden, you're SEC East champions or competing for the SEC East. Like, it's not Miracle-Gro. You can say all the right things. You can outwardly be doing all the right things, but it's still a growth process. No different than when you plant a flower or you plant corn or, you know, my father-in-law is a farmer. You got to sow and you got to water the ground and you got to tear up weeds and you got to battle heat and all kinds of stuff, and then you'll reap the reward. And I think there's a lot of positive momentum, and I know everybody wants it right now, but there's still a long process to be had on our football team. And I think we're getting there, but some of the teams that we're playing right now have 10-year head start on us in this program. And, you know, we got to get going and we got to get there faster. I know that's not going to make anybody happy, but that's the reality. And so I'm not discouraged at all.
Probably not going to make people happy to say, well, you know, we're behind Kentucky on development of their program. But that is true. It's true. I mean, Kentucky
used
to fire coaches all the time.
Have you run that by Jason Anderson?
No, I'm not going to get involved with Jason Anderson talking about Missouri. But I think Coach Drinkwitz missed a real opportunity. If you listen to the Tiger broadcasts on the radio, there are plenty of agricultural advertisers on there, and he wasn't able to drop one of them on fertilizing or getting your crops right. So he's got to work on that.
He needs to go get
somebody and drop a name brand.
Yeah.
Because they're on there on all of the broadcasts around here.
Well, since his father-in-law is in the ag business, he'd be the perfect pitch guy.
He would be the guy to go do it. But
I think he's setting people up for, like, he's trying to manage expectations.
Yeah, I think so, too. I felt that last week heading into the Kentucky game. Because, well, and he kept saying 10 years Mark Stoops has been there, which wasn't true. He's in his ninth year. But whatever. He's been there for a while. Which is, did you know Mark Stoops is the second winningest coach in Kentucky history?
Well, wasn't he with that win?
51 wins.
Wow.
Wasn't he passing whoever, some guy I'd never heard of?
Yeah. So the next guy on the list is someone named Bear Bryant, mm-hmm. who won 60 games at Kentucky. Because he was there for probably 3 years and won 20 games a year. I don't know. But so that's what... Kentucky football was kind of like K-State football, right? When Bill Snyder got to over 500, it was like, this is the first coach to ever be, you know what I mean?
Right.
That kind of stuff. And so Mark Stoops has not won 10 games a year, okay? He's won 50 games in his ninth season. But he's been a bowl guy, 8 wins. He did have a 10-win year. But that's the second winningest guy ever. So it shows if you stick with someone, you can do that. But I think Missouri fans would be like, wait a second, this is still Kentucky. This is not someone we're supposed to be thinking about. But they should win this week. And we did like their early schedule. The swing game on the early schedule for them was the game in Lexington.
And they've dropped it.
And they the way the game was going, I thought they were going to get beat by like three touchdowns the way the game was going. Moral victory, whatever. They did fight back in battle, but they didn't get it done, so that margin is gone. On if you're thinking about your 8-9 win years, that's
do they get it done against SEMO?
I think they will get it done against SEMO. That shouldn't be a problem.
Remember who the I gave
Joker
it away.
Phillips?
Ah, damn it. I'm having a hell of a day.
It's a bad
name. Remember who preceded Mark Stoops?
Not an answer. Not a nary a single answer on the feud. But
couldn't
now,
get a Batman villain.
He got
named
Joker.
Joker.
Got Joker.
Joker
they
Phillips.
They call me the Joker.
My favorite Kentucky memory back in the day was that was Guy Morris. Remember, he went on to Baylor.
Yeah.
And they had the game won against LSU, and they had that Hail Mary that got tipped and mm-hmm. caught, and mm-hmm. he had already gotten Gatorade bath. That yeah. was Kentucky football. Mark Stoops is a solid guy who is building something nice there. And I think, I don't know if he's ever going to be someone who – he was at Florida State for a while, did a nice job at Florida State as a defensive coach. Florida State looks like a mess again. They just lost to Jacksonville State, right? And so who knows what it's going to be like. They're on this little – when Jimbo says, I'm out, right now they're on their second coach since then. So yeah. I don't know if that's somewhere I'd be a little more patient.
That was a terrible loss for Mike Norvell, but – you know, a lot of people in Memphis think pretty highly of Mike Norvell, but
yeah.
we'll see.
Well,
see
I was super impressed with him, almost beating Notre Dame, but then I watched Notre Dame barely beat Toledo. I'm like, well, maybe they're both trash.
You know what my vision of Kentucky football is? Hal Mumme sweating in a jacket with a towel draped around his neck
yeah.
when it's 80-something degrees and thinking, take off the jacket, dumbass.
It would be easier. I watched them play live. I saw Kentucky win.
Maybe
at
not
LSU.
Like a scarf around your neck, known as a towel, like holding the heat in that's trying to come up out of this jacket you're wearing on a 90-degree southeastern day.
But even with the overall number one draft pick, Hal Mumme didn't get to 50 wins.
That's well,
crazy.
No.
Crazy.
Craig Yeast. He did have the round mound a touchdown.
He did. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Craig Yeast.
You want to look that one up?
He's definitely dead.
Is he dead?
He's dead.
What, him and the Sniglet guy? The
Sniglet guy's alive, according to the internet.
Okay. We'll take a break. Bama and Florida. Todd loves them, the Gators. Points, don't need them. Don't want them. He likes Florida
don't
outright.
Speak for me.
That's what Todd Lebo's going to tell us next here on the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
Gosh, I was such a reject in school. Only someone could have just stuffed food down the front of my pants. And I felt so much more important.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Getting some Lebo sounds, some college football. Todd likes him some college football.
I do like college football. I'm excited this week.
Are you excited for Alabama and Florida?
I'm excited to watch that first midge. I don't know if it's going to be much of a game for very long. I think Alabama's very, very, very good. But, you know, maybe Florida. They've got some different quarterback. People liked Kyle Trask last year. Oh, Kyle Trask. But
he's on my dynasty team.
Is he?
He's the heir apparent to Tom Brady.
You may want to find someone in between then and there. But
now they don't have the other guy he was throwing to either.
I also have Zach Wilson, Tua Tagovailoa, and Aaron Rodgers, so I think I'm okay.
Yeah, you're okay. He's low on the depth chart, Kyle Trask.
He's fourth.
Yeah. So Alabama's very good. We know this. So the funny part about this for me is that this is the first time Alabama's playing in Florida since 2011. They've not been there.
It makes all the sense in the world.
That's what the league is now. So I want to play a couple sound bites about this, and this is going to be fixed, we hope. Who knows when all this conference stuff gets lined out. But Dan Mullen, the coach of the Florida Gators, says even though they're coming for the first time in 10 years, he would like to have that happen a little more often.
You know, if we got rid of maybe the permanent games in the SEC, you would have more opportunities to play these games, which the fans love. I mean, I think the league creating more of these games is really good for the fans, good for the players, and good for the conference of creating these type of games a little bit more where you get this opportunity. I mean, I didn't know the last time they were here. So 2011, that seems like a long time between, you know, playing a conference team at home, a long time between games.
Yeah, that's a long time between games.
This is not that hard.
Well, it's getting fixed. Let's play the Nick Saban
first. Why do you
think
it's getting fixed?
Well, it's getting fixed because they're going to have to play in pods and they'll have to play everybody.
No,
and it's going to happen.
That is not official.
I think it's going to happen. But let's hear Nick Saban on this too, and then we can have a discussion about it. Nick Saban, he understands this part of it, but he'd like this to happen a little more often, but he said he didn't have a lot of help on this.
The only way you're going to play everybody is to play more SEC games, and I've been an advocate of that for, you know, some time without very little support. You know, I don't know how you do it when you only play 8 SEC games. You got 6, you know, that you play in your division. You got 1 natural rivalry that you keep, so you only play 1 game, 1 team, you know, a year from the other side, and it rotates. And I've always said it would be great if, you know, every player in, on your team got to play every school in the SEC in his career, and with the present format, that's just not possible.
So if they do the 4-team pods, if they do it, which is what
or
they
divisions,
should do. Yeah, or call them whatever to. You want to call them. Yeah. Call them what you want to call them.
They could then, have conferences and, if, and divisions.
For a long time,
be a league.
Most of these coaches were unlike Nick Saban. Now, it's easier when you're Nick Saban because you don't care. You're just going to go beat everybody.
By the way, I don't ever remember Nick Saban saying he didn't want those rivalries. That's revisionist history.
Well, no, he wasn't. Dan Mullen said get rid of some of the rivalries. Nick Saban said play another game. He
play
said,
another game, but he said I've always been for
playing another game.
Playing another game.
Another
okay.
game. So their rival.
Yeah, he doesn't want to
Tennessee.
Give up the walkover win against Tennessee every year.
Yeah, he's got the good one there, but he also wouldn't mind playing 9 games because they'll go play somebody. They don't care. Alabama's better than everybody, but a lot of these guys want to keep their jobs and make a bowl game. And 8 games sounds fun because Wofford comes in and Western Carolina and the Citadel, and you can go win those games. So they need to get that stuff figured out. If they do it right. With 4 4-team divisions, whatever you want to call them, you play each one of those teams, that's 3. And then you play 2 from each of the other 3,
that's
6 games. That's 9 games. And then you would rotate there, and you would go to every place every other year. And that would be the best college football conference there is.
That sounds good. That sounds good, but then you're...
Who knows if they will.
Well, but that sounds good, but actually what usually happens is they bump you. You bump 1 at a time, not 2, because otherwise then... Oh, somebody's got Alabama, Auburn, or somebody's got A&M and LSU 1 year.
Well, that's
and then
kind of what would
don't.
Happen in the Big 12. They would randomize it the way they randomized the schedule last year and gave Missouri, LSU, and Alabama. But you would go through the division and you would have to blind draw it and say this is how it's going to be, quote unquote, forever. You're going to be at Division A, Team 1. And then you'll have team 2 at your place. You'll be at team 3, team 4, and whatever. Do it that way. And that's the way, and you just call that forever, not first place. I'm just talking about just blind name them whatever. So if you were Missouri in a pod with Oklahoma, Texas, and Arkansas, you'd play all 3 of those. And you'd have a year where you're 5 at home, 4 on the road. That's how it's going to be. That's the way it works. It's what the NFL is right now with 8 and 9. But then you would be at Alabama, home against Auburn, at Mississippi State, home against Mississippi, or however you divide the thing up, and that's the way that would be the best way to do it. I have no question that they will jack it up some way, but they would have a great, great league with the 16 teams they're talking about having in there if they did it that way. Because honestly, who did Alabama play last week?
Mercer,
Ray Mercer, Mercer. Ray Mercer. They knocked him out. Okay, yeah. So they played Mercer. Nobody cares.
Merciless
Ray Mercer.
Merciless.
We got you, OU Rock. You call in with that. Mm-hmm. We know that one. But that's what they need to do it that way because they don't want that. They don't need it. Some teams need the game, I guess, right? You know, if you're Missouri, you got to play Southeast Missouri. That's fine. But you got 3 things to go do that with. And maybe they would dump their rule where you have to play a Power 5. That's what the SEC has tried to do. You got your 8, but they make you play a Power 5.
Well, I mean.
But just play them all, man.
If they're going to break away and they're going to be if they're going to be so big and bold about how we make all the money, stop playing the schools that aren't the moneymakers.
Exactly. Play the moneymakers. Play 9 and then go play
and
a power 5.
Play 3
yeah,
other
and 1 with a power 5 at least. 1 power 5
or at least D1s, but if you're stop with the 1AA's mm-hmm. and preferably even stop with the non-power 5s.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're like, hey,
the tough part is you have to have a dancing
the big
partner.
Leagues are a different breed. Okay, then you should not be playing that lesser breed.
Yep. I
right?
agree.
The 8th grade team doesn't play the 5th grade team.
I agree. I hope it happens. Now, I don't have a clue on what year this is all going down. That's a long
time.
But
do you believe the pods will come?
I think the pods will come.
Okay. Todd Lebo, good stuff as always, buddy. We appreciate it. Congrats.
Sorry about that whipping.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had Curtis.
Yep.
What do you want me to do,
Those
man?
Things are going to happen.
I had Lawrence. What do you want me to do? He was awesome.
Oh, what do you want me to do? Bob Glauber coming up next.
The burnt end of the hour question. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, who's the only player to be named to the Pro Bowl in each of his first 14 seasons? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.